Chapter 22. Another Chance. When the pocket ship finally arrived, Buck and the brothers booked passage to Hong Kong. From there, they sailed back to San Francisco on a fast clipper ship in first-class cabins. Then, by train, they crossed to their destination back east. The brothers' family was ecstatic to have their sons safely home, and what a home it was. It looked more along the lines of a castle. Buck had seen mansions in New York, but none compared to this. The widow's place would have fit in the Winthrop's living room. The brothers had telegraphed their pending return when they made landfall in San Francisco. Because of this information, their family had planned a gigantic welcome home party. A small brass band was playing on the front lawn when they arrived. After a round of lengthy embraces and many tears for their sons, the family turned their attention toward Buck. Their mother hugged him as if he was a long-lost relative. Then the father shook his hand until Buck thought it was going to fall off. The blessings flowed as an unending river. Buck flushed from embarrassment. Once inside, the beauty of their home took Buck aback. He felt unworthy to be in such a lavish place. He was just a dust-eating cowboy, not some rich city kid. No wonder the rigors of ship life had been so difficult for the brothers. It was obvious that anyone growing up in such luxury would never know what it was to do a day of hard labor. Servants streamed from all directions to be at their beck and call. Men, wearing white gloves and spotless waistcoats, served glasses of French champagne from silver trays. When they entered the main banquet hall, the smell of a fabulous feast was intoxicating. The father had spared no expense to welcome home his sons. After the meal, all the men retired to a huge adjacent drawing room for Cuban cigars and brandy. Matthew, Mark, and Luke took turns entertaining their male guests with detailed versions of their ordeal and rescue. Their audience sat in total silence, hanging on every word. When the last brother finished his part of the story, there was a flood of questions. All wanted exact descriptions of the savages and the wild country the brothers had visited. Buck's part in the rescue seemed to be inflated somewhat. He had not remembered the events exactly as the brothers now recounted them. Nevertheless, this was their version. Buck felt no need to make corrections. Perhaps the brothers remembered things clearer than he had. His thoughts were only of survival and getting back home. Buck had not taken the time to make as many mental notes as the brothers apparently had. These three young men appear to have not considered this experience as anything more than an adventure. They obviously had not expected to die. Perhaps that was why they paid such attention to details. This whole ordeal was to be nothing more than an exciting tale for their dinner guests when they returned safely home. After many hours of entertaining, the last guest went home. The servant escorted Buck to a large bedroom. With the aid of a full stomach and several glasses of expensive brandy, he soon fell fast asleep. When he awoke, he was startled to find a male servant standing by his bedside awaiting his commands. The man escorted Buck to his own private bathroom where Buck took a long hot soak. Buck then sat nervously while the servant shaved him, and then helped Buck dress in the new clothes that filled the closet in his bedroom. Buck did not much care for another man helping him into his drawers, but this man seemed accustomed to his chosen profession. Buck assumed the brothers had included his sizes in their telegram. He hoped these fancy city clothes would not be coming out of his pay. As they ate breakfast, Buck leaned toward the nearest brother and hesitantly asked about his money. It was such a trifling amount to them that none of these wealthy folks had given it much thought. Buck, on the other hand, had watched his entire life savings dwindle away quickly as they made their way across the country. He was beginning to think that he would have none by the time their train rolled into Boston. Buck was shocked when Matthew Winthrop stood and tapped his water glass with a fork to get everyone's attention. He then started his speech with,
"May I have your attention, please?"
All eyes turned in his direction as he continued.
"It seems Mr. Adams is concerned as to the solvency of our family."
"Wait a minute. I don't know what that word means, but all I asked was about the money I loaned you and my pay."
Everyone in the room seemed to find what Buck said amusing. The servants even stifled a small laugh behind their white gloves. Buck was not certain, but he felt that they were all making fun of him, and he was starting to get damn mad. His face flushed with both anger and embarrassment. Sensing Buck's building rage, the father asked Buck to join him in his study. Once inside, Mr. Winthrop dismissed the servants from the room, having them shut the door as they left. He walked behind his desk and then pressed the secret latch on the portrait of his family. The painting opened to reveal a wall safe, then turned the dial, opened the heavy metal door, and removed several bundles of cash.
"Mr. Adams, unlike my sons, I was not born rich. I have worked hard my whole life to have what you see around me. My sons are good boys. Yet none of them had ever worked a day in their lives until they had the misfortune of joining you aboard that ship."
Looking up at the family portrait, he continued,
"That is all that matters to us, not these material things you see around you. We had lost our boys. I doubt very much that their mother and I could have continued to live. For their sake, return. We shall always be in your debt, and no favor asked of you will ever be refused."
"What I did, sir, I did to save my own hide as much as theirs. You don't owe me any favors. Just what money I spent getting them here and the wages your sons promised me."
"Very well, then. Let's get this business settled once and for all, so that I can put your mind at ease. Exactly how much do I owe you?"
"As best I can figure, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,000. I know that seems like a lot, but your boys can run through money like corn through a goose."
"Oh, I can believe that, but it's not their fault. Their mother and I have spoiled them from birth. We tried to give them all the things we didn't have growing up."
He looked back up at his son's picture and sighed, as if he was remembering all those long nights spent staring at their image, not knowing if his sons were alive or dead. He then slowly turned toward Buck and said,
"If you will not accept a favor, then you must at least accept a small bonus for your troubles."
Before Buck could mount any sort of protest, he slapped $2,000 bundles into Buck's hand and said,
"Now let's finish our breakfast. I'm starved."
When they re-entered the dining room, Mr. Winthrop had his arm over Buck's shoulder. He was as happy as any father could be. Buck had given this old man something that meant the world to him. In doing so, Buck had gotten another chance at a good life as well.